Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into fellowship. On this third Sunday after Easter, we continue in the spirit of the resurrection as we speak to you today under the theme or subject, Every Willing Spirit Needs God. Every willing spirit needs God. The reason I chose this theme from our gospel text for today is because every person born of a woman has within him or herself a willing inner desire to do what is right. But because of our fallen nature, that desire is often driven in the wrong direction. And so when a man is at his worst behavior, there is always hidden inside of him an unmet desire. And so in his misunderstanding of what that missing piece is, he attempts an answer to his predicament by choosing a personal solution to a spiritual problem. We find this in religious movements such as Isaacs and their associates, who would blow up buildings and blow up people and blow up themselves looking for an answer to this unmet desire. We find this in the atheist who says there is no God but yet is angry at the God who does not exist. We find this in the skeptic who doesn't believe that, but yet at the same time have found no peace in his skepticism. We find it in a Christian who finds it very difficult standing for his or her faith in the times of adversities. All of these sect groups of people have spirits that are willing to do what is right. Before going any further in this message this morning, may I first inform you that this is not a new news. It is not new news that ever since the fall, the spirit of man has been in need of his creator, in search for the answer to this emptiness that we experience. And this is why we chose for this theme this morning, Every Willing Spirit Needs God. The spirit of man is always willing, but the flesh of man is always failing. These were the exact words of Jesus to the apostle Peter, who happens to be the subject of today's message. Jesus said this to Peter before he fell into temptation. In Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is a fact of life that I have become very familiar with over these years of my Christian journey. There have been many occasions when I have failed the Lord and have seen the flame of love and devotion burn very low within my heart. And sin and failure and seeking forgiveness and the restoration of my spirit and soul and body. Each time I have come to him for cleansing, I have found him to be a faithful friend to those who have fallen by the wayside. Well, from the subject of our lesson today, the Apostle Peter found himself in similar situation after he had made a public declaration to follow Jesus and even die with him. And we all know the story that after Jesus was arrested, Peter, as Jesus said to him before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. Peter did deny Jesus three times. Peter had a willing spirit. And in that spirit, he spoke to Jesus and told him, I will never leave you, even if it means that I'm going to die with you. And so he denied Jesus Christ. May I submit today that there are many Peters in this room today, and I am one of them. Peters who have made declarations to God. Peters who have said that, God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peters who have made these strong choices to follow Jesus, even if it means that we are going to die in the process. But sometimes our flesh stands in the way and stops us from doing the very things that we declared that we would do for God. There are three principles in our gospel text today that we need to consider in dealing with those obstacles that stand in the way of anyone who is willing or who has a willing spirit. The first thing we want to see is God is more closer than we think. God is more closer than we think. Look in John 21, verse 4. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. Notice that Peter had already met, or the disciples had already met Jesus two times prior to this third encounter after his resurrection, but was still being overtaken. Peter is still being overtaken by his guilt. Judas destroyed him. I deny him. You know, and he's walking with this mindset. A willing spirit had been cast down by the will of the flesh and now is held hostage by that act. And it's just like all of us today. And many people today have walked away from the faith because of guilt. Many of us come to God, but we carry the guilt of yesterday. And it prevents us from getting closer to the throne of God. It prevents us from understanding the death that he died on the cross and the reason he died to bring us this salvation. And we walk in the guilt of yesterday, and it's repeatedly played in our minds, and it draws us further and further away from the throne of God. One secret I want you to remember today from this sermon, one secret I want to give to you is the getaway solution never works, my friends. When we try to get away from God, it never works because God is always more closer than we can ever think. He's always there in every circumstance. We see this repeatedly played out in the Bible, in Bible stories, or Bible accounts, where from the very beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, they went and hid themselves, the Bible says, and found fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But God was right there, and he called, Adam, where are you? We cannot run or hide from God. We see this played out in the life of Moses when he ran away from Pharaoh and went to a faraway land, running away. But God was right there in the burning bush. We see this in the life of Elijah when he ran away from Ahab and ran to a secluded area. And while he was there, God came and asked him, what are you doing here? We see it in the life of Jonah, who tried to run away from God. And on the sea, there was this storm, and God was right there. This early that morning, it carries the idea, the word, the phrase in this text, early that morning, carries the idea of a new day. It carries that idea of a new day. There is always a new day in our life. God's mercy is provided in a new day. And the scripture tells us that in the book of Lamentations. It tells us that God makes his mercy new to us every morning. Every morning we get up, there is another day, there is another chance, there is new grace provided for us to be able to maximize our potential, to be able to make that choice to grow closer to God, come closer to the cross of Christ. Every day is a new day, my friends, and including this very morning as we sit here and listen to this message. It is a new day. It is a new opportunity that has been given to us through the grace of God to come closer to the throne of God. We don't allow guilt to keep us away. We don't allow the choices of the past to keep us away, but we come closer to the throne of God. Every day is a new day, and today has been given to you to do just that. We don't look at ourselves and look at where we are or who we are and begin to define ourselves by the condition we find ourselves in, but rather we look to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, the Christ who have died on this cross to bring us redemption and bring us eternal life, the Christ who have died on this cross to bring us new life, Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, listen, all things have been made new through this Christ. We come to him, and we walk away from the doings of yesterday and the guilt of the past, and we come closer to the cross. God is not only more closer than we think, but God is more sovereign than we think. Look in John 21, verse 5. Scripture says, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Now, in this text, God in his sovereignty holds all power over all creation. When he asked them this question, next thing he told them is to throw the net on the other side of the boat. And as they threw the net on the other side of the boat, scripture says that the net became filled with fish and that they could not even pull it. It was so difficult because it was heavy. Because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior over all, and he is the ruler over all sovereignty of the earth. So God holds all power and all creation together. In other words, God can change the course of nature whenever he chooses in order to make a point. He can do that. We see that in the life of Daniel, in the lion's den, where God shut the mouth of those lions and Daniel was not harmed or hurt at all. We see that in the lives of the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace. Because God has sovereignty over everything, he was able to stop them from being consumed by the fire. We see it in the life of Jonah, who went into the fish belly but did not get killed or destroyed. God has sovereignty. We see it in the life of Lazarus, who died and was stayed in the grave for nearly 4 days before he was brought back to life by Jesus Christ. God has sovereignty. And we see it in the life of Peter and the disciples, who toiled all night on the sea. And he had to come to the break of day, and there was absolutely nothing in the boat or in the net. And Jesus Christ, in his sovereignty, was able to bring life to something that was impossible. In other words, God can be using the very situation in your life this morning just to make a point. And so as we go through the trials of life and the situations we don't seem to understand, we can lay and put our trust in him and look to him for strength and help and grace while we're going through these times that we don't seem to understand. And allow God to work through those circumstances as he makes his point in our lives. The scripture lets us know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So God allows situations in our lives because he wants to make a point, and we allow him to do that. We quit complaining and we stop running from God and we come to him. We have Christians who would just use much of their time complaining about situations instead of taking it to God in prayer. What a privilege to carry everything, my friends, everything to God in prayer. We start seeing God in his sovereignty. When we start seeing God in his sovereignty, it changes everything about our lives. When we see our God as the God who is able, when we see our God as the God who is able to walk through every circumstance of life and bring life and light to every situation in life, it changes everything about us. And then we bring our will and we yield it to God. Running from God, we waste time and resources and energy. We look at God and we come to him as the author and finisher of our faith. Look at the responses in this text, or the response in this text. When Jesus asked them, "Have you caught anything?" They said, "No." No. This is the answer that when people who have not yielded their will to God, this is the answer that they get. The answer is no. Because this world gives us nothing, my friends. All of our toils and our anxiety in this life and all of our achievements, they come to an end. And at the final analysis, become nothing. The answer is no. But when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and when we give our lives to God, It is when the answer becomes yes, because with him, all things are possible. With God, we can be assured that all of our labors are not in vain. With God, we can know that because we placed our trust in him. It is not about us, but it's about what he has done, what he has accomplished. And we look to Jesus Christ, and we continue on this journey. And that's where hope is, my friends. And that's where the hope of the church is. It is in the power, sovereign power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God is not only more closer than we think. God is not only more sovereign than we think. But God is more caring than we think. Look in John 21, verse 6. It says, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The solution to succeeding with a willing spirit starts with knowing how much God cares for us. We submit our will to him, and it changes everything for us. The Bible says those who come to God must know that he exists and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we come to God knowing first that God exists. It starts with knowing that God exists. That knowing how much God cares about us changes everything for us. Peter, after toiling all night and finding nothing, realized what a blessing it is when we yield our will to the Lord's. So he comes running out of the boat. All right? He leaves the blessing that was given to him and he runs to the blesser. And this is the kind of idea that it carries. When a person comes to know who Jesus is, we don't only come because of what he has given to us, but we fall in love with him and we run to him and we embrace him and we have fellowship with him. It is what it is about. Peter leaves the fish and he runs to meet the Lord. It is not about the blessing. It is about the source of that blessing. It is about Jesus Christ. It is the reason we gather in worship this morning. We've left all of our duties this morning, whatever it is out there that will call our attention, we have left it this morning. And we gather in worship and we come to the blesser. We come to receive that blessing. We come to receive that fellowship. We come to receive that love. We come to also show our gratitude to God because of who he is to us. This is what it's about. Peter comes to the blessing. He forgets about his guilt, and he went running towards the guilt remover. This morning, as we come to worship, we come and we confess our sins, and we receive absolution this morning, and we walk away knowing that we met the guilt remover this morning, and that all of our guilts have been taken away by faith. It is what it's about. He got his willing spirit charged up to go and feed the lost sheep. This is what it's about. We leave from here this morning and we go out into the world. We are sent out on a mission after we get charged up by the word of God. And we are encouraged to go out and share with those we come in contact with the love that we have received from God. All it takes, my friends, is to bring your willing spirit to Jesus Christ. For he is the only guilt remover. Don't run from him. Come to him. For he's closer than we think. He's more sovereign than we think, and he's more caring than we can think. And I pray this morning that as we receive these words from our Lord, it'll encourage our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.